Hey guys, thank you so much for showing up. My name is Mikkel. I'm part of the Azure Compute team building Service Fabric technology. And we're here today to tell you a little bit about how the combination of Windows Container Technologies and Azure Service Fabric is doing some great job for a lot of our customers in terms of reducing total cost of ownership of .NET applications that they run today. Basically, a year ago at the Build conference, I did a talk about how you can start modernizing applications with containers. Jim Schubert, who's here with me today from Accenture, who's part of the Accenture CIO team, he's the container engineering lead there, watched that session and sort of took up the challenge and built out a project in Accenture to start modernizing how they build and run applications by using Windows Container Technology and Service Fabric. So for most of the session, Jim will walk you through what Accenture's done today so far, how they build up like a great platform for just onboarding lots of applications to this system. And I'll mainly hand this over to Jim and let him walk you through their project and the state they're in, doing some demoing around it. Yep. And hopefully, once the sessions conclude, we'll stick around. If you have questions, come up. We also have the booth down here where we'll be happy to see you and answer any questions. So, Jim?
All right. All right. Thanks. Can everyone hear me okay? All right. Good. All right. And thanks, Mikkel, for the introduction. Okay. So, we're going to talk about how we're taking, at Accenture, our legacy .NET applications and moving them to containers. So, just a little bit about me. Accenture is a management consulting company in professional services. As Mikkel said, I'm part of CIO, so that's our internal development organization. So all the applications that are used to run the company and everything are internally developed. I've been in container engineering for about a year now. I also run disaster recovery, so we use Microsoft's Azure Site Recovery for DR protection of our critical business apps. I've been a Microsoft MVP for a few years, also an ALM Ranger. So Accenture is a large company, 442,000 people globally in 53 countries. And you just think about the number of applications that we need to have to support that type of organization. You know, there's country-specific applications, and we've got well over 600 applications that we're maintaining, just to be able to support the numbers of people that we have. So just, we're a big collaboration company as far as, you know, being this globally distributed. We're one of the biggest Microsoft Teams usage out there. We use OneDrive. You know, we all use all these collaboration tools. We're also in the cloud, 80% in the cloud right now, with the target of being 90% by the end of this year. So even though we talk about the numbers of our servers and stuff, we got well over 15,000 servers. You know, we're in the cloud, but we still have to look at how do we optimize this. Okay, we did the lift and shift, got out of data centers, but now, you know, we still have servers in the cloud that we need to address. We're working with Avanade, so in the putting together of our whole program, doing the container program, we work with Avanade very closely. They're a big Microsoft shop that is part of Accenture, and they've got a lot of professionals. They're as well, you know, globally sized company. So to talk about containers, really get to the crux of what our discussion is about here. So the idea is that, you know, we've got all these servers out there. We have to over-provision. We have servers, you know, an application might use. One server might have been created 6 months ago. One might have been created a month ago. And you get variations of them because just by the nature of patching and everything that goes on with the servers. So, we've got these inefficiencies here because they're not all the same. We also have this issue that with all these servers, and you got OS upgrades, you got to perform at some point in time. You have to be able to, you know, spin up another server. Just the fact, like if I want to go from Windows 2008 or 2012 to 2016, it's a lot of extra effort. It's more servers, it's more management you got to deal with, and the fact that you're not hitting peak capacity of the servers all the time. So you got a lot of inefficiencies there, because without having auto scaling, you know, you have to provision for your peak workload. So the idea is that, you know, looking at the left-hand side of here, you know, we've got all these servers that are running, all the infrastructure, the stuff they have to manage from a patching perspective, vulnerability management, inconsistencies, all this stuff. And where we're going to on the right-hand side is the idea of the efficiencies of having an environment that's always consistent. You know, I've got Windows 2016. Everyone's got the same flavor of it. I'm not having to worry about variations of it. If we want to do a collateral program, we want to go to Windows 2019 or the next version of Windows that's going to be out there. All we're going to do is put up a Service Fabric cluster with that base OS image, essentially, of Windows 2019, and we can move all the containers in there, and then all of a sudden, all those applications now have it. So the idea of having to spin up, you know, servers just to be able to do migrations goes away. So we're going on this journey. We're working with a lot of our applications. How do we get them to be more efficient with their usage? But also the whole experience that you've got in here from a developer's perspective. Developers don't want to have to care about what the underlying OS is. I mean, they want to write code. They want to deploy the code. They want to be able to provide business value. So the idea is that basically they don't have to care about what the operating system is. They are able to create their application in a container, deploy it, and they're able to, you know, have a repeatable environment. So whether it's I'm deploying to my container where I'm running locally, to dev, to stage, to prod, I've got consistencies because within containers, everything is packaged up. All of your assemblies, everything you need, you don't have to worry about, oh, what version of, you know, of a DLL is running on a particular server, and, you know, I got to remote into it to figure out what's going on. The idea is I've got consistency across the platform. So, you know, one less headache to have to deal with and, you know, get distracted by. The fact that you're able to deploy quickly, you know, you can spin up a container pretty quickly on your local machine. You're just doing your Docker build commands and boom, you're ready to go. That, so the idea of how you can sit there and, you know, have environments, you know, in our case, we have weeks sometimes when it takes to get it, to request a server to be built. So the idea is that we can deliver value much quicker. You know, from the infrastructure side of things, you know, we don't have to have server admins provisioning servers anymore. The idea is that they're able to, you know, work on much value-added tasks as far as, you know, just, you know, creating a Windows server, patching it, and all that kind of stuff. From an operations perspective, the whole idea of how we deploy our applications is going to be consistent. And then also, if we need to roll it back, you know, all those kind of things are handled with the containers. The idea that the monitoring that we can use, we get consistent monitoring, you know, it's not the package of the day that we're using or someone kind of came up with their own logging, you know, approach. The idea is that the environment for the containers as well as the host that the containers run on, you know, we've got a consistent way to do that monitoring. And then when we think about it from security, so security is a really big thing. You hear it all the time as far as, you know, the vulnerability management and what we have to deal with from a security perspective is we're pushing it down to when we check in code now. The idea is that my environment is going to be scanned when I create that container image, and if there's any vulnerabilities identified, we can stop it from even being built. So you start thinking about that time of, okay, maybe we'll deploy code to an environment, and then we get to staging or, you know, a performance environment, and all of a sudden we find there's a vulnerability we got to deal with. Now you got to backtrack the whole thing. So the idea of being able to push the security scanning, you know, further down into development process. So what we, you know, talking about the security is enabling shifting left. The idea is that, you know, you're not going to have an environment created that's got vulnerabilities in it. The idea is that it will fail to build when it gets, you know, if there's anything identified. Also, the idea is that we want to be able to have a consistent environment. So we're not going to have people pulling, like, from Docker Hub and deploying an image. We're going to have a base image for a container that we create that adheres to all the Accenture standards. And so that way there's no flavors out there floating around that you have to deal with more vulnerabilities. You know, we're putting guidelines in place that this is what you're going to pull. You know, we'll have a base registry for our images, and then each application team has their own registry that they will populate. So really, this is what I want to get into as far as talking about what does it mean from a development perspective, how we're putting this into place. The idea is that we've, you know, looking at across the top, we've got our developer swim lane, essentially, and we've got our container engineering group. So our container engineering group are the ones who put together the base image. Just like our developers, we use Visual Studio Team Systems, so VSTS. We source control everything that we're doing from a container perspective. So our images, our scripts, everything we do, and then we use the same developer tooling to deploy to the environments that we even run as a container program. So the idea is here, you know, whether I'm a developer or in the container engineering team, you know, we put our code into VSTS, we build it. Down in the bottom, we've got our base container image. That's our blessed image, and it's secure that we then have the developers pull from it and then put it into their own registry. And then we got, you know, they're still using the same package management system that they currently do. The idea is that when we go to deploy then, you know, our developments, we use Octopus Deploy, but for our container engineering, pushing out our images, we're using release management. But the idea is, you can see from a security perspective, we're scanning the images, you know, when they're in the registry, we're scanning the images when they're being built, and then we're looking at how we'll manage the containers and environment themselves. So the running containers, making sure that they're getting scanned. And the idea is, if a vulnerability is identified, you know, stopping that from being out in the environment, you know, not letting people be able to push anything out, and also identifying what's running in the wild as far as, you know, whether it be a production environment, staging, or anything like that. And the idea is that, you know, we're using Service Fabric for all of this stuff, for all the orchestration capabilities that we have in there. And then we do logging, so we have security tools that we log to. And then we, you know, I was talking about monitoring earlier. We're using OMS, you know, the log analytics engine, and that's where we're pushing everything. Standard outs go in there, our IS logs, event logs, from both the containers as well as the container host that we're running. So we've got one area that we can go to do our reporting and then set up all of our alerting around it. You know, so the idea of being secure. So the fact that we pull a Windows image and then we run our hardening scripts against it. So the idea is that what our, you know, whether it be for ciphers, you know, registry settings, all that kind of stuff is addressed, but we're not maintaining our own image per se. We're pulling the Microsoft image. So when they go to 1709 or other versions, you know, that's what we'll be able to pull and then, you know, secure to make it so that it's hardened to our standards. And then the fact then, you know, all, like I said, everything is version controlled. Everything we do is scripted. Everything is redeployable. We can redeploy any cluster that we need to off of a set of templates that we've developed. So we ourselves are implementing security in our container team. So wanted to get into actually showing some of this stuff in action. All right, everybody, you able to see this okay? All right, so in VSTS, you know, we've got all our repositories. We're using the Git capabilities of VSTS. So the idea is that we have a CIO image. That's our base image that we work off of. That's what the teams are building our applications and containers into. The idea is that we, you know, we're just using Docker files, and we do a pull, and then we've got scripts that we execute. So the idea is that when we go to spin it up, we're able to do this. And you can see we have different base images that we've created. So if teams want to use a nano server, you know, we've got the flavors of Windows Core. We're even a look at, you know, for a local development, if someone needs a SQL instance, we're creating a SQL Express container that you would just use for some local testing. And with this, we build it. So we have a, you know, we're using build. So when one of the developers checks in code for that base container image, the fact that it will build all the images and push them into the registry. So we got the auditability of it. We've got the fact that, you know, this whole process is automated and that we can deploy it out. And then talking about one of our applications as an example, you know, the same principles when I was talking about from a developer perspective. You know, a developer will check in code, will do the build, you know, do the package restoring. One of the things that our target was when we're going to containers with some of our legacy applications is the fact that we didn't want to have to make developers learn a lot or have to do a lot of refactoring with their applications. So we used the same development tools they currently use and just were able to build on top of those. So the idea is that we can, you know, build our image, push an image to the registry, and go all the way through to deployment. So basically your whole CI/CD process, with the idea that we'll have the scanning in place here for the vulnerabilities. Also, we're looking at other tools as far as how we'll do code scans. And then we're also, you know, promoting, you know, the use of UI tests. So the idea, some of our legacy applications, it was hard for people to get some of these tests put in place. We're making that a requirement as part of the whole process. You know, you want to be able to do this repeatedly. You want, you know, the idea that we promoted, the idea of how you would go to the next version of Windows, we want to be able to make as much of this automated for applications. because when we look at some of our applications, they've got defined budgets that they're supposed to deliver business value in. What we're doing is reducing our hosting costs because of the fact that they're no longer having to, you know, pay for servers they don't necessarily need. We're putting in the auto-scaling capability so that, you know, they can run with minimal resources, but when there's a peak in demand, that they would be able to spin up a new container and be able to leverage that for their applications. And then the other thing, you know, we're putting all this foundational work in place. You know, we're changing how developers look at deploying their applications and using containers, saving the application team's money. You know, we're putting some infrastructure in place to be able to run this, because Service Fabric clusters now are still running on IaaS servers. If anyone caught Mark Fussell's presentation that was a little bit ago, they announced the Azure Service Fabric Mesh. And so Service Fabric is going serverless, and so you won't need infrastructure anymore even to run clusters. And you also get the benefits of, if you want to do Linux as well as Windows, you don't have to have separate clusters for that. So the idea is that when Mesh rolls out, well, all of our infrastructure will go away that we're running clusters with, and we'll have everything running in Azure, and we'll, you know, we won't have to even deal with the fact that, like, if someone says, hey, we want to do Linux, you know, we didn't want to have to stand up another cluster just for that. We want to be able to leverage, you know, the cloud capabilities. So and just wanted to show you as an example. So if anyone's familiar with Octopus Deploy, you know, when we were looking at some of our applications, we're like, okay, they would stop IIS, deploy a gone phishing page, maybe do a backup. They had all these steps they were doing. And what it comes down to now for us is when we kick off from our build and we actually fire off Octopus Deploy from within the build, we're able to just have one step. The idea is that we're handling gone phishing for everybody through load balancers and ARR. And the idea is that they'll be able to just have one step to deploy their application out. I was mentioning analytics. So one of our points here is, how do we do the monitoring, measuring, and alerting? So we're using the container platform component of Log Analytics to sit here and be able to monitor our containers. And we found it very beneficial already from the fact that we can introduce a change to our container environment and be able to take a look at the performance of it. So we want to have baselines and trends that we can anchor back to, so when we change something ourselves, we have the ability to say, okay, is this good or bad? How did we influence the environment that we're providing to our applications? Because when you think about it from a blast radius, you know, for an application, okay, they had servers. Now we've got these applications running in a container, and so now you've got density there, which is a really great thing you want to have, but also then you want to make sure that the environments we provide to them, that they have a high level of confidence that, you know, ourselves, we do all of our testing, we know that everything is performant. And from an operations perspective, our operations teams are able to know, how do they monitor this environment, because containers are so new to everybody. And so you can see we're building out our dashboards. We got the data flowing in, you know, continually working at this as far as how we, you know, the number of applications right now we're looking at is 19 that we're moving, and we're in various stages with applications as far as, you know, where they were at in their development cycle for this fiscal year. So we've got applications that are already getting onboarded that were, you know, what we did as an engineering team is we went through the process, we got their code, we put everything in place, ran it in our own environment, and now what we've done is we've operationalized that so that we can give a team basically a runbook that they can onboard themselves into the container process. They know what they need to create, and then they can just go at it. One of the things we also wanted to identify is the fact that we're using ARR, the application routing component, where we manage all of our DNS. And you know, this is also where we can throw in the gone phishing pages, and we can do some monitoring through that. And the same thing, we treat it as code. We've got a solution out there for it. When we need to add to it, we can then check it in, run a build, and this is actually where we're using release management, and we're actually, you know, doing that for our container applications. So the fact that we've got all that automation in place, and then what we're finishing up from this perspective is how we test it. So the idea is we want to make sure, you know, we practice what we preach, and that we do our own testing and everything like that. So So you got we hit it right on the 20-minute mark.
I think we're pretty close to that. You got any closing slides you give me?
Nope. We just have...
just the evaluation slide. Okay, cool. Yes. Well, thank you very much, Jim, for coming along and telling a little bit about how Essentia's been going along this project of adopting Windows containers using Service Fabric and using all the tools in between, like VSTS and the monitoring tools in Azure, to really help your developers move to a container-centric way of working.
Yep.
We hope this short talk inspired a lot of you in terms of what you can do. Jim and I will be here and be ready to take questions afterwards if there's something you want to talk with us about. We also have the Service Fabric booth just down here in the expo area. We can come and talk to us. There is a container tooling booth. We have Windows containers down there as well. And please come along and ask questions if anything. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for showing up.
All right.